You know that one of the great joys of the last 27 years of my life has been working with college students. And it really is an adventure for me because it brings out, in some ways, the best pieces of me that otherwise I would get kind of set in my ways, but they keep me moving in a different way. Two of my favorite comments when it came to my preaching from those college students over the course of the last 27 years, these are my two favorites. There have been many comments about my preaching over the course of the last, you know, number of years. But the one student who came and he said, "You know, you're the only priest I know that believes everything you say." You can't make this stuff up, I'm telling you. And then the other one comes along and he says, "You know, when you preach, you really expect that they're going to listen to everything you say." There you go. My two favorite comments on preaching, and I do. But there's the danger of sounding all the time like you believe what you say, and there's the danger of all the time, you know, expecting everybody's going to listen to you. The danger is that sometimes people look at you and say, "Oh, he's got all the answers." And I'm here to tell you, I don't know whether this is a confession or not, or whether you've ever considered it or not, but I'm very aware that I don't have all the answers. As a matter of fact, I have more questions than I have answers. Because I can't always make sense of God or what God does in life. And that is certainly true of all those that have gone before us. In the words of John the Baptist, and in the ideas of John the Baptist, and our looking at John the Baptist, John has come on the scene and he's given this strong message. And he's telling everyone they need to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But now today we see a little bit of a different side of John the Baptist, the one that's now in prison, the one that expected the Messiah to be the one that was going to set them free and change everything. And John evidently had been believing that Jesus was the Messiah, and Jesus is starting to believe it too, and things are starting to change. And now all of a sudden, John is thrown in prison by Herod. And Jesus is out there doing his thing. And all of a sudden, because it's not happening the way that he thought it was gonna, now he's sending his own disciples to Jesus and asking him one more time, "Are you the one who is to come? Or are we supposed to look for somebody else? Is this what I thought it was? Or am I mistaken?" You see, it's so easy for us when things don't go the way that we think that they should for us to somehow believe that God is missing, or that God isn't doing it our way, or that somehow God doesn't love us because things are happening to us that are less than what we want. How many of our lives have been visited by tragedy? How many of our lives have involved sickness, even death? How many of our lives have been changed because of those unknown scripts that were written by God that don't seem to make any sense to us? And from time to time, we want to step back from the whole thing and go, "Is this what I signed up for? I thought that if I believed in God, life was going to be grand, and it was all going to go my way." Don't we all really kind of believe that on the inside? We were never promised that. Life's never that easy. Life throws us all kinds of curves. When it throws us all kinds of curves, well, it's then especially that we need faith. It's then especially that faith continues to unfold for us in a special way. Because when we have faith, and in those moments, we're gently reminded by God that God never really did desert us, that God is there all the time, that the deaf's still here. How many times have we not been able to hear something, and then suddenly it gets through? The blind regain their sight. How many times we've been unable to see what was right in front of our face, and then suddenly, because of faith, our eyes are opened and we look at the world and each other in a completely different way? How many times have we been dead and been raised to life? How many times have we messed something up that we needed new grace and new life in the sacrament of reconciliation? And has God ever said to us, no, not forgiven that sin? Has God ever said that to us once? No, we continue to be raised to new life. Today, in the celebration of the sacrament of the sick, one of the reasons why we anoint, one of the reasons why we pray for people who are sick is because sometimes the more serious the illness, the more sometimes those people get cut off from the Lord. Because they get themselves in that spot where they're saying, I thought I knew all the answers, and the questions don't seem to be being answered for me right now. And so sometimes people who are sick begin to wonder whether God cares for them anymore. One of the reasons why we do the sacrament is we want to make sure that everybody understands that despite whatever's going on in life, God has never gone anywhere, that God is still right there. That's why that letter from James reminds us to be patient, because we don't know how things grow. We just have to sit back and we watch, and we see where God appears. Again, I stand before you this morning as a man with more questions than I have answers. But I will tell you, I stand before you this morning as a man of faith. And I believe that nothing can get between us and God if we continue to pray and ask God to be with us. No illness, no tragedy, no unforeseen problem that comes our way can ever get between us and God. Faith reassures us of that. And that, again, my friends, is one of the reasons why we have Advent, and one of the reasons why we will pray in faith with our brothers and sisters today, that the good news is still proclaimed to all of us, and that God will be with us and come to us in every moment of our lives.